Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, and welcome back to Having a Ball. Today's episode, we'll be discussing Season 1, Episode 2, Be a Pal, which aired October 22nd, 1951. Lucy believes that Ricky is losing interest in her. Ethel finds a book that offers suggestions such as dressing up for breakfast, taking up her husband's hobbies, and surrounding their apartment with things that remind her husband of his childhood. Now, I felt like this one was a really quick episode. I don't know if you felt that way too.
I did too. It went by really quick, but I really enjoyed it. I think some episodes that seem really long kind of like drag because they're not as enjoyable, but this one was really funny, fast-paced, just kept you going, so.
And since it was like the first season, you can kind of see the difference in their looks because Lucy had just had a baby, you know, not that long before this episode. So you can, she looks a little different to me.
Oh yeah, I mean, in sometimes in this episode, you can see that Ethel is thinner than Lucy right now.
Right, right.
Which she usually isn't. Though I do want to mention that there are a lot of episodes where, like, they're almost the same weight. Ethel is just dressed a little bit more frumpy.
Right.
But in this one, you can clearly see, like, Ethel's thinner than Lucy, just because Lucy hasn't lost all her baby weight yet.
Right. And so later on in the episode, when she does do the dressing up part, you can kind of tell, you know, she
hasn't lost the baby weight. They have it where she's in that tight-fitting dress. They have it made so that it can kind of give her a little
room
for the yeah.
So it opens up, the scene opens up where they're in the kitchen and I guess it's breakfast time. You have Ricky in a suit, which he's always in a suit, and you know, Lucy's sitting there kind of in her hair is in curlers, wearing pajamas. He's reading the paper and ignoring her. And that's sort of the premise for the entire episode, is her trying to get his attention because it's come, you know, their marriage has come to a point where he's ignoring her most of the time at breakfast.
I mean, I have to say, if Colin ignored me like that, I'd be real annoyed. Like,
it's rude.
Like that wasn't even a little bit annoying. Like, I can get like if he's interested in something, but she was like asking him questions, having a full conversation. She left the room, came back,
knocked on the door.
I love how he's like, the least you could do is eat dinner with me.
Yeah. And it's not, it's not like it was one of those long 16 chair, you know, dinner tables. She's right,
they were right
there.
Next to each other.
It's a really tiny kitchen. And so, you know, you said she leaves to go, like, what is that, like the patio in the back or the roof?
Yeah, I can never know. Apartment
in the back.
Gets through the patio.
Comes in and asks for the lady of the house. And he gets ready to call her and like, well, the least you can do is eat breakfast with me in the mornings. And so, when he gets ready to leave, you know, he's still not focused on her. So I think it's is it a tangerine, an orange, or a piece of toast? Grapefruit. Okay.
That
he, you know, hands up for him to kiss. And it's just, he's so oblivious that he ends up kissing the fruit.
Yeah. And going back just a little bit, when she like puts the toast in the toaster and like shoots it out.
Right.
He actually ends up doing this a few other times. Like, this is the first time this bit is done, but it's not the last.
Yes, many times the toast goes flying in the air.
But I love, actually, the roles are reversed. You know, this scene right here, it's reversed in that one where, what is it, Lucy gets a job or something like that, where they change roles.
Oh, job switching?
Job switching, yeah.
Yeah.
And he does the same thing with the toast and everything. But I love that the toast she sends flying his way has already been toasted. So by the time it comes to him, it's like black. And then, did you see this? Did he dip his toast in his coffee?
I didn't notice that.
I swear he dipped his toast in the coffee. And I was like, that's weird. Even if it's
that burnt, is weird.
That's weird.
Yeah. What I love is every instance, not just here, but any episode where that toast goes flying, no one is surprised. I mean, it's just like a normal thing for the toast to go flying in the air, you know, and them catching it. Even when I think there was the later episode where she hires a maid and she's like, you know, what should I ask? You know, and Ricky says, you know, as a toast goes flying, ask her if she has a catcher's mitt, because the toast goes flying every morning. So then Ethel comes in, you know, in the kitchen. Lucy's just stomping upset.
Mm-hmm. This is how I show my anger, by the way.
What's that? I'm stomping?
A lot like Lucy. I don't stomp, but I slam things. Like, if I'm slamming things around, like, you know, I'm mad.
Like, the door slams, the whole dishes. House shakes.
You know.
So you're saying you're upset.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. and so she's huffing and puffing. She's stomping. What I love, or not love, but what's comical is that Ricky leaves so oblivious to what his wife is feeling. I mean, no sense that she's upset, you know, once he leaves. Ethel comes in and she can tell that she's bothered or upset about something. And so I guess it's hard for Ethel to really identify, because to her, it sounds like a dream if Fred would ignore her, because, you know, they have two very different marriages. So, you know, it really bothers Lucy to have her husband ignoring her, really. So she suggests that there's a book by Dr. Humphreys that, you know, shows you how to regain the interest of your husband, which I think is interesting that, you know, the entire premise of the book is to be attractive enough to him and attract him and keep him happy. It's a very 1950s book.
You have to do anything to get her attention.
Right. It's, yeah. And it's, you know, that's what the subject of the book is surrounding the husband losing interest in the wife because of the way she has, you know, kept up her appearance. You know, I mean, you have a small child. Mm-hmm. And I know that life gets hectic and busy, that sometimes putting yourself together is the last thing on the list, because there's so many things that come before it. So yeah, as
my theory is, if my child is dressed, we're off for a good day.
Wow.
He's dressed. He's fed. Like, I can be in pajamas all day if, like, he's taken care of. So, like, there's a lot of stuff. And the last thing I need to be doing, definitely in the morning, like, right. I mean, I work night shift, but if I was working day shift, the last thing I would be doing is making myself pretty for my husband to see me for a few minutes. Well, I've got so many other things that I need to do, like taking care of, my child. And then you think, you know, she's the one who made the breakfast and the one who's going to have to clean up the breakfast and all this stuff. And yeah.
Well, what's interesting is during this time in, you know, in the show's storyline, there's no child, there's no baby yet. I mean, Lucille Ball did have one. Yeah, so she's home. Not that you need to get up at 6 a.m., glam yourself up to make breakfast just to see him off in the mornings. But it's just interesting that, you know, they've gotten to the point where she's already given up on her looks, or that's how they're trying to portray her as having given up on her looks.
Sorry, real quick. I wanted to throw in that when she's super angry and like putting things in the sink, I don't know if you noticed this, but she put in laundry detergent.
No.
So right next to the sink is Dove laundry detergent. And it actually came with like free glassware or plates in each box, but it was laundry detergent. She just threw that in with the dishes, which I thought was
Is that Duzz, D-U-Z-Z?
D-U-Z.
D-U-Z. That's funny. I love those little tidbits where, you know, just little things like that, trivia like that. I didn't even notice that it was laundry detergent that she was throwing in there, that she's so upset.
Should I read the first part, the first chapter of this book?
You mean for yourself or just for the audience here?
For the audience. No, just me right now, quietly.
Just for yourself. Yes, of course.
Okay. Often, after the first year of marriage, the husband seems to lose interest in the wife. He reads the paper at the breakfast table. He doesn't answer when you talk to him. In short, he doesn't seem to know you're alive. More than likely, this unfortunate condition is the fault of the wife. Contrary to what some wives may think, this is not nonsense. Research shows that the condition starts with the wife becomes careless about her appearance. Let her ask herself these questions. Does she come to the breakfast with her hair in curlers? Is she sloppy in her attire? Does she forget to make up her face? Is the answer to these questions yes? Then it's time for the wife to do something about it. Dress up for your husband at breakfast. Be glamorous and sophisticated. Make yourself so attractive, he not only will pay attention to you during breakfast, he won't even want to leave for the office.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack. Make yourself so attractive.
One, you know, you watch Lucy while Ethel's reading this whole thing. Like when, you know, when she says, do you come to the table in sloppy attire or something?
She looks down at herself.
Like trying to like crease her pants.
Yeah. It's all wrinkled. Those pajama pants were very wrinkled. Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a crazy, crazy thought to me. Like that whole passage.
Yeah, because it's make yourself sophisticated.
I'm not sophisticated.
Sir, Dr. Humphreys. I don't do sophistication till about noon. So can we just not make that a requirement first thing in the morning? So she had her hair up in curlers, like in a bonnet or a shower cap or something. And, you know, just not caring, you know. So she contemplates what Ethel just read to her. And of course, she wants to, you know, make Ricky happy. So cut to the next morning, she's in this glittery, sparkly black gown where it's like she's ready to go to prom or a wedding or, I don't know, a presidential inauguration or something. But it's very glamorous. Her hair is up, you know, she's got a cigarette in her hand.
She does that, like that voice where she's like, good morning, darling.
She does that. It's kind of like that darling. Tallulah Bankhead.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sugar dear. Puts her legs up in the air.
She's laying on the table. I just want to throw out like
the, not looking. Like,
ignoring her. He's just missed out, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's missing out.
It's not you. It's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so she does that sultry, deep, you know, darling, like you said. And so finally she's had enough, you know, after a few minutes of trying to be that sultry person. And she says, I want a divorce. And he says, that's nice, dear. I mean, he's still listening. I mean, reading the paper, not listening. And it's a little frustrating to watch, really.
Yes, and I don't know. So I caught this as well, but if you watch during this episode, this is after she gets like angry and burns his paper, which I love.
Yeah,
she just sets his paper on fire. If you look at the top of that paper, you'll see that it's really torn. It's real raggedy, and you know, it's probably so from the first shot where, you know, his paper's all nice and pristine to this one.
Right.
It's probably the difference in how many times they had to, you know, rehearse the scene. And so it got all raggedy and then they set it on fire.
I love how you zero in on a lot of these little details because, I mean, some of them I catch, which are, you know, the obvious ones or, you know, like the set design or a boom mic or something like that. But, you know, just little details like that are fun to know. And so after she sets the paper on fire, which sounds funny because it's just in his hands, she says, look at me. and, you know, look at this dress, look at this hair, I'm glamorous first thing in the morning. And he says, you don't look well, you look sick. I mean, he's like, what? Oh. What? That's no. And it didn't work quite like she was hoping it would.
Yes, apparently not. That's very sad for her. And she gets real mad and she calls Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really funny bit where she, but you have to suspend disbelief, right, in this one, because she's calling Ethel and having this conversation.
Right.
But if I'm correct, when you have a phone call and someone doesn't pick up, you hear it. There's like a dial, like a tone or something.
Right. And so, you, yeah, it's like you said, you have to suspend a little bit of belief here, because she thinks she's calling her at the same time Ethel's coming in through the back door having a conversation. And she thinks, you know, she's on the phone and she tells her, because she come over and scares her, because there's a lot of scaring going on, because those people don't knock. Everyone just walks in.
She just walks in. And not only that, but she just helps herself to like a donut. And coffee, like, just walks in. I do want to mention, here's another little background catch. But as Lucy's talking on the phone, Ethel takes a big bite of donut.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that she accidentally takes too much and she has to spit some of it out.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, she like spits some out and puts it next to her because she can't talk. So she's supposed to speak with her mouth full, and she can't because she's taken too big of a mouthful.
That's so funny. I'm sure that wasn't the intended bite to take, but
no, but it works, you know.
The improvised, you know, that's the improvised moment is what makes the show what it was. And so, you know, she comes in asking her, so is everything, is it hunky dory or what did she say? Okie dokie, hunky dory. And she says, everything is inky stinky.
Yes.
And so she's like, no, it didn't work out because Dr. Humphrey's advice was not, you know, well received. Yes. And so, you know, she opens up the book again and suggests taking up one of the husband's hobbies or pastimes.
Silently read to myself the second chapter if you'd like.
Absolutely. All right. Silently, loudly,
silently,
please.
Silently, out loud. All right. Mm-hmm. Chapter two. If the method in chapter one fails, you should next try the be a pal system. Share your husband's interests. Join in his hobbies. If he hunts, take up hunting. If he fishes, take up fishing. If he golfs, take up golfing. And Lucy's response was, well, Ricky plays poker, so I'll have to take up poking.
Poking. Yeah. So she's going to take up playing poker. Do you know how to play poker?
I don't. I've never learned. Colin really likes poker. He plays poker, but I haven't learned. So maybe when we start having people over again, he can teach me. But
yeah. So wants to join in because I think he has like a weekly guy's night in at the Mertz's apartment. Playing poker. So she wants to join that, which to the husbands is kind of like, you know, nails on a chalkboard to suggest that.
Yes. Before we get to the poker game, if you watch Lucy while she's like pacing in the upstairs apartment while Ethel's reading, she's walking towards the fireplace, and on the left, you can see the edge of the set wall.
Oh, okay.
Their wall end, and then the studio wall start. Accidentally, they pan too far.
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, they do that a lot, which in my opinion is kind of the charm of the show, because when you know as much background as you and I know, it's a one-shot deal. There's no going from the, you know, kind of like Friends goes from one scene and then you're now in another scene. You're literally walking to a few feet down because it's all one whole big set. So people who know the history of the show know that, you know, you're just right there. The wall is the living room, the nightclub, all of it is all connected in one set. And I think that's neat.
So Ethel says she can teach Lucy how to play poker. And
Right.
she says it's a lot like cards, except you bet and there isn't any old maid,
Right.
which are three different games, all
Games.
one.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Ethel walks in on their game and scooches in, and it's really funny. We get to see two of Ricky's poker buddies. We obviously know Ricky and we know William Frawley, but there's also Richard Reeves, who's on the left, and Tony Michaels, who's on the right. And Richard Reeves, actually, sorry, he comes back as Bill Foster in The Gossip. And
Yes.
also the publicity agent, he plays in that. And then he played the policeman in I Love Lucy show. So that's just
I
fun.
love
Lots of different.
that the gossip episode,
Oh my
because when
gosh.
he's chasing the little guy around after, towards the end, that's the best. But
Yes.
so she's playing poker. Now, there's a lot of poker terms thrown around that I will not even attempt to recite because I don't know what trumps what beats what. I just know that whatever she was doing was upsetting them because at first she was winning their money, which, as we learn later, you're not supposed to do according to the book, the Dr. Humphrey's book. You're not supposed to win, against your husband. And so they're playing inside the apartment. They're getting upset. She's taking their money. And then towards the end, it seems like she, quote unquote, won again,
She didn't
but
have anything.
didn't really, because she didn't have any of the ones that, constituted a winning hand, and still takes their money. Ethel kind of peeks in to see how she's doing, and she notices that she says, "Can you please recite it to me, the rules of the game?" And Ethel's like, "Oh no, this is worse than I thought." And, kind of pans out from there, because that was also a bomb when trying to get your husband's attention.
Yes. During this scene, there are a few things that I love. One, I love when Fred is just like coughing at Lucy to get her to do stuff. And then there's one moment where he doesn't do anything and she looks at him and goes, and it's just so funny. He does it back to him. But he also makes a reference. So he says, "Well, I shouldn't talk, but you can tell your two Andrew sisters not to wait up for Laverne," referencing the Andrew sisters who Lucy gets to play. I believe she plays Laverne in Here's Lucy. So that's really close or really funny that she gets to play Laverne. And then Patty Andrews is the guest star of that show in Here's Lucy. But also, so if you look, watch real closely when they're playing, even if you don't know a whole lot about poker, the white chips are one, the blue were like one of the darker chips are five, and then the darkest chip is 10. And so it's kind of easy to not know exactly what's happening. But there's the first time where they're going around and they're each putting in $2. And Rick or Fred puts in two $5 chips instead of two white chips. So, I mean, I feel like it's pretty obvious that they don't play poker.
Yeah, that you're hoping you, as a poker player, probably watching that, you're probably picking up on all that. Meanwhile, you and I are just oblivious because we don't play poker. So when that fails, then, they go back to the book again. And she's at this point, Lucy's sick of this book because
Yes.
it's just not working. And so, of course, she has one more suggestion from the book. Do you have that chapter?
I do. Chapter 3. One thing to remember about the be a pal system in chapter 2. If you play games with your husband, be sure not to beat him. If methods 1 and 2 have failed, there's one last desperate measure. I suggest that the wife become a mother.
And she says, I suggest he mind his own business.
Yeah. Most men marry a woman that reminds them of their mother. This is because most men have happy memories of their carefree childhood.
That's not always the case, I think.
I mean, no. I have to say, so I'm going to go on a little bunny tangent. You know, there's that idea that men marry their mothers and women marry their dads in the sense that you marry someone very similar. And I always thought that was a really weird
kind of correlation
thing. Mm-hmm. And then obviously I met my husband and we married, and my mom and I were talking one day and we're like, wow, both of them are engineers, both of them are introverts, both of them, and we were just listing all the similarities, and I was like, oh no, oh no.
Wow. Wow. That is so interesting.
I never do.
Wow. That's really interesting. I think, you know, sometimes you purposely search for someone who's, let's say, the opposite because you had a bad childhood or something. And so you're trying to, you know, everything that you picked up when you were a kid, marry the complete opposite of that. And so sometimes also subconsciously, you're attracting the exact thing, much like yourself, you know, with, you know, engineer and all introvert and all of that. I mean, you didn't set out with a bio requesting that. It just sort of gravitated towards that. And I think that's so interesting how the human mind and, you know, works that way. But I in this episode, I never did understand where they would. I know that she's trying all these different things to kind of get his attention back. So she's not exactly, you know, trying to be a doctor and figure out what's wrong with him. But the being a mother thing, or his mother in particular, I didn't get that sense. Just, it was a very strange thing. But what I found interesting that they mentioned, once, you know, she suggests, okay, great, I'll try that. I'll make the apartment look like Cuba. I'll bring in throw in a palm tree in the corner, fruit over here, baskets, just make it look as Cuban as possible. So Ethel asks, you know, what do you know about his childhood? And she mentions that he has five brothers in Cuba. And I think back, and that's the first and only time that that is mentioned.
Even like, when they go to Cuba,
no five brothers. Yeah. Nope. So it's just
also the brothers she gets, they're like children.
That's
like
weird.
They could be his children. And it's like, you know, I know that there are age differences, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not an abnormal thing, but to have five children and one adult, like, you would think they'd be spread out a little bit. They also all look the same age.
They never quite address where Lucy, the character, got all these kids. I mean, can we discuss where she randomly found Hispanic looking children to run about in the apartment with no parents and just to be available to show to her husband? It's really strange when I'm saying it out loud.
And money. Where did she get the money for this? What, she had to rent a donkey and a chicken?
It was quite a production. She put together like a whole theater act in her apartment.
She had a whole costume. Like, my goodness, how much did she spend on this?
Not to mention the costume that she bust out in later. I mean, that's
why she's always overdrawn.
Yeah. And so he comes in beyond confused as to what he just walked in on. He's like, am I in the right apartment? So what's funny is that he walks in, he sees the palm trees and the, I guess, island looking theme she's got going, and sees kind of a man sitting by the couch, or what he thinks is a man sitting by the couch, because it's just like a dummy with no head and just a hat. So it looks like, you know, a sleeping man with a sombrero on his head. And so he's talking to this guy who he thinks is a guy just hanging out in his apartment sleeping or something. And he says, Señor, you know, he lifts up his hat and there's nothing there, which is you know, creepy in itself.
Yes.
So that's interesting, you know, the stereotypes that are thrown in.
Oh yeah, I looked at that and I went, that looks like Mexico.
Thank you.
Stereotypical Mexico. And I mean, I guess if you've never been to Puerto Rico and you're trying to think what, you know, you go for all the stereotypical, but that, when I looked at that, I was like, that looks stereotypical Mexican.
What's interesting is I understand that the writers, everybody, the only Hispanic person there was literally Desi Arnaz, which they could have just asked him,
right.
What does Cuba look like? And we, well, first of all, we don't have sombreros. That's a Mexican thing. It's not, you know, they have those habanero hats, the ones with the brim and the, it's a very stereotypical look for a reason. But if you notice, when they do go to Cuba, the uncle's outfit, that's what Cuba looks like. That's what Cubans look like. But I realize they're not writing.
Well, they're not writing, but I also want to give them the benefit of the doubt and think that Lucy's the one who put this together, right?
Lucy, the character.
Right. Lucy, the character, mm-hmm. put this all together. And she's never been to Puerto Rico at this point. You know,
Cuba?
Cuba. Yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been.
Or to Puerto Rico.
Right. Yeah. She hasn't been to probably any
Latin countries.
But so she's going off of what she thinks, you know, she's going off the stereotypical.
Right. That makes sense.
Like if you ask people off the street, you know, everyone's got their very
idea
specific, you know, stereotypical ideas of places. Even when I say I'm from Brazil, like people are like, whoa, and they spout out real gross things.
There. Wow.
If you don't know, look it up on your own time. Okay.
Okay. So well, you know, like myself, I know that I look Mexican. I'm Salvadoran, but you can't tell Salvadoran people and Mexican people apart because it's all looks Hispanic, you know, and it's fine. I kind of go with it. If someone asks, you know, if you're Mexican and I'm never going to see this person again, sure. Why not? It's easier, right?
I always correct them.
I do my, listen, one thing, I'm going to give you a quick little lesson on Salvadorans. You never call them Mexican. They take that very personal. I've known this since I was a child. I don't know what it is. It's very bizarre, but, you know, if you told my father, what part of Mexico are you from? You just, you know, insulted his ancestors or something. You know, I'm Americanized. I don't care. But it's funny how we hold our individual cultures dear to us.
Yeah.
So watching this and even Lucy, the character, attempting to be Cuban to please him, she busts out a Mexican accent or what I think is a stereotypical caricature of a Mexican accent, you know. That's not Cuban at all, which again could be the Lucy character trying and failing, or no one asking Arnaz's input on what a Cuban person sounds like. But I'm more inclined to think it's the Lucy character just not knowing what the heck Cuba is or what it looks like or what it sounds like.
Right. Well, I'm gonna go back to real quick. I'm gonna climb on that soapbox. I did not know that I had like a whole lot of strong feelings about where I'm from. Like, I don't know. I'm not huge into my culture. I'm not, you know, but then I was watching something and they were talking about this person as only where they were from. Like they kept bringing up where they were from. And I looked at Colin and I was like, you know, if someone kept saying that I was Brazilian and only that, like if you were only talking about me as being a Brazilian, like I might feel weird, like that you only think I'm a Brazilian. And he went, oh well, you're not Brazilian. And I was like, I come from Brazil, so I am Brazilian. Whoo. And he's like, yeah, but you're America. And I was like, I don't care if I've spent most of my life in America, you know, and I was Americanized, like I'm still from there. So mm-hmm. I still call myself that, even if that's not what, but anyways, Yes.
No, it's true. I understand what you're saying. Like, again, if we're going to make this, personalized, both my parents are from El Salvador. I'm born here, but I call myself Salvadoran. I'm an American by citizenship because I'm born here, but I don't identify with anything else other than that. I don't have European ancestry. I don't have family members throughout the United States. If I were to do one of those ancestry DNA things, I'm not going to find them in Scotland or anything like that. It is what it is. I mean, and so I think everybody holds their own culture, especially when we're in this country, and our cultures come from other countries. To express them is very important to, I think, most people. And what I love about the I Love Lucy show, really, and it's so ahead of its time, is how much they really brought up Ricky's Cubanness. They didn't shy away from it. In fact, they threw it more in your face, which is why he was such a pioneer. And Hispanic actors today, have him to thank because he was the first brown face that was really front and center on national television.
Hey, amigo. Señor, Clem. I beg your pardon. I must be in the wrong apartment.
Oh, no, señor. This is it, your apartment. Your mama, he will be here in a momento.
So it's a Mexican accent, Mexican looking place, Brazilian or Portuguese song, trying to be Cubanized. It's just a lot going on.
Carmen Miranda was, Lucy did ask permission to portray her, kind of like spoof her in this. She was born in Portugal, moved to Brazil, and both her and Desi were on Broadway at the same time. She was in the Three Streets of Paris and in Too Many Girls. And they both obviously had Hollywood careers, but at one point, Miranda was the highest paying woman in Hollywood. So those are just fun facts about her.
That is interesting. I did not know that. What I love about that look, I love everything about that look. I mean, there's a Lucy Carmen Miranda type doll, like the
I read somewhere that
collectibles.
that was the most sold, like, outfit of Lucille Ball.
I love it. It's very tropical. It's very cute. It's very, it's something that for Halloween, I'm sure a lot of people have used that. It's a really adorable looking outfit for what she does with the wrap around her head. She's got bananas. She's got, you know, her hair up and the earrings. But he comes in. Then, of course, the record player skips. And so she's trying to figure out how to continue the lip syncing of the song.
There were two times where I laughed so hard and tried to figure out how in the world everyone else didn't break. And one was when at the poker game where she was dealing the cards and like slapping them down and like throwing them around. I don't understand how all of them didn't break. And then in this moment where she's lip singing and Ricky has to be there, how did he not break during that? I would have just been in tears laughing.
it was really funny because she's just like shimmying, you know, she's shaking in front of him, really trying to get his attention.
Interestingly, it hasn't been 100% checked out, I don't think, but I think it's rumored that Carmen Miranda was at the viewing of this.
Oh, okay. That I did not know either.
And then Gordon McRae, Jack and Mary Benny, Rossland, Russell, Van Johnson, Ava Gardner, Ginger Rogers, and then possibly Ms. Miranda. They were all there for this showing.
The heavy hitters.
Big, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, just think
I mean, that. Ginger Rogers alone. I mean, because she had a history with everybody you just mentioned. She had either movies with them, friendships, personal relationships. And those are some heavy hitters.
All of these or almost all of these showed up in some of her shows, at least.
Yes.
You know, in I Love Lucy, the Lucy show, or Here's Lucy. They were in some of those, I think.
Yeah, especially Van Johnson. They went back all the way to Too Many Girls because he was his stand-in for the Manuelito character for Desi Arnaz, which I think we touched on when we spoke about Desi in a previous episode. And it was just comical because Van Johnson is tall, white, blonde, blue-eyed, and he was the stand-in for Desi's character, which is, you know, a Latin guy.
So she does all of this. She does the whole routine, slows down. You can see she's out of breath. I love that. And Ricky's like, what in the world is going on? And so finally she explains to him.
Walking in on that.
Man, I mean, my husband says I'm weird, but I definitely am not that weird. I think he'd be concerned if he walked into something like that.
Just shimmying and shaking and dancing.
Yes, there's it hasn't been said yet, but it will be said. Weird. Oh, it'll be said in the next episode. Weird for normal people or weird for Lucy. You know, like,
right. Weird for that's always the preface it with that. And so she's speaking to him in what, again, we said is a Mexican accent or a caricature of a Mexican accent. And she's explaining how she's going to cook a meal for him. Does this remind you of your childhood in Cuba? And then, of course, we have the animals and the running children after that, which is still weird. It's still weird. And so she's trying hard to impress him, to remind him of his childhood with his mother and to see if he would like her better. This is the explanation that she's giving to him. And he's like, well, I didn't want to marry that. If I wanted to, I had stayed in Cuba or married a Cuban girl. You know, I married you because you're so different, but I don't want you to be Cuban or attempt to be Cuban. You know, and she says, if that's what I wanted, I'd marry, you know, someone I knew in Cuba. And of course, my favorite line is, who would you know in Cuba?
Oh, man. I love that line.
Yeah.
Well, that is the show. Random. That's the episode. A few, I like doing like facts a little bit ahead, like if we fast forward just a little bit. In 1953, this is 2 years after Lucy did this impression, Jerry Lewis actually did the same impression in the film Scared Stiff. And he even does the record skips and the speeding up and slowing down. So that's really interesting.
Now, is that in kind of a tribute to the Lucy or just kind of on his own?
I think it's a tribute to her.
Okay.
And then in 1987, an episode on ABC's The Charmings, I don't know if you know that, The Magic Mirror, who is Paul Winfield, mentions Lucy's dressed up as Carmen Miranda. As he's talking about who's the fairest and things like that, he mentions her dressed up as Carmen Miranda. So not just Lucille Ball.
Right. Specifically dressed up like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then obviously there are a few other times where Lucy plays poker, but you know, we'll talk about those when they come up. And that's all I have for this episode.
Yeah. This one it's very similar to a lot of topics throughout any of the seasons, except towards the end. I feel like it's not so much trying to impress Ricky, but definitely season one and two feels like there's a lot of I'm trying to impress Ricky.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's a theme, running theme.
Being the good wife, you know, there's that. And I did forget one thing. So if you have listened to My Favorite Husband, and it has been said that this is from the episode Be a Pal, which is number 93, it's the same title, but that episode is more closely related to, do you remember the episode where Lucy's trying to be super, super friendly with Ricky? It's like the honeymoon. She's saying the honeymoon's not over and he takes her camping and tries to
Yes. Yes.
That's what Be a Pal is more like. And then there's another episode called Be Your Husband's Best Friend.
On the radio show.
On the radio show, which is what this is more based off of.
Okay. Yeah. The camping trip was more like to prove to her friends. Interesting how they just, you know, use the same premises and the same information from the radio show, incorporated that. And so, you know, it was real easy for them to think up these episodes, which I love because it's the same writers, brilliant writers, really.
Yes. All right, guys. Unless you have anything else to say, I think we're done with this episode. Next week is what originally was supposed to be the first episode, which is Lucy thinks Ricky's trying to kill her. Did I say that right? Or is that...
They use murder her.
Murder
her. Which is... It's so dark. You know, Lucy thinks Ricky is trying to murder her. It's like...
I mean, really, the premise of this is dark, right?
It is. Yes, it is. Ooh. Yeah, when you think... And they're trying to make it funny, but it's really sad if you're trying to avoid your husband killing you and poisoning. We'll get to it, but still, it's the title tells you what this is about, and it's
exactly
dark. It's dark.
You can figure it out from there. We are really excited because we're getting along here, guys. We're getting more and more episodes for you guys. We will be posting more information on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram and Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook. So if you want to see photos and information that we talked about in this show and other shows, then go ahead and like those, follow those. We also have an email that you can send us questions, trivia, things we missed, and that is havingaballpod@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. And what I love is that, you know, as we go down these episodes, you'll be able to find your favorite one just based on the title, because that will be the title of every episode.
All right. So check in with us next week and we'll talk about a very, very dark but very funny episode.
Yes.
All right. Goodbye. See you.
Bye. Next week.